could it really be? That stuff was sending skyward.
Welcome back to The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and I hope you're enjoying this program as much as I am. DR had to get back to his day job, but we are going to continue with some really, I think, compelling interviews. This next one with filmmakers who have just come out with a movie called Scarred Lands and Wounded Lives, The Environmental Footprint of War, and Alice and Lincoln Day are joining me on the program. I hope they're there to talk about this work that they've been busy on for some time. Welcome to the program. Did I lose you? Well, let me talk about the film and maybe we can get them back up. It's called Scarred Lands and Wounded Lives. It's a compelling documentary that explores the underreported environmental impacts of war and preparations for war. The film confronts the immensely broad ecological and human ramifications of everything from technological development and natural resource exhaustion to weapons testing and modern warfare itself. Now, ecosystems around the world, as we know, are in distress. We talk about that all the time, from our own making, increasing population, unchecked growth and overconsumption, unsustainable demands, in short, on our natural resources, habitat, and species loss. And, of course, we're seeing this with climate change. So one of the most destructive of all human behaviors, of course, is war. It takes a tremendous toll, obviously, on lives, on countries, on cultures. But we don't often talk about the environmental impact. So we're going to do that now, hopefully with the filmmakers. And do we have them on the line yet? No.
We're here.
Okay.
You hear us?
Okay, Alice,
yes.
are you there with Lincoln?
Lincoln is here as well.
Okay,
we're
great.
Working with home technology, so
okay.
I hope it works.
Okay, well, I really appreciate your joining me. You had a screening in San Francisco last night. Take us back. Tell us how a couple of folks who, I guess, were not filmmakers got involved in such an ambitious project.
In 2004, when we started making the film, there was a lot of interest growing in climate change. Al Gore's film, Inconvenient Truth, had come out, and we had gone to see that, and many people did as well. We live in Washington, D.C., and there was a lot of interest in this. As well, we were on the advisory committee of the Environmental Film Festival in Washington, which is one of the largest environmental film festivals, certainly in the United States, maybe in the world. And we had seen many, many films about destruction to the environment, but nothing about the damage that war causes. And we thought, and preparations for war, including testing of weapons and nuclear explosion of nuclear devices as tests, and the pollution that bases cause, a whole lot of aspects of damage that come before actual conflict that are very injurious to the environment. So, being on the committee, the Environmental Film Festival committee, we thought we would bring this up as an issue and talk to the group and to other members of it to see whether they thought there was an interest in the possibility of doing a documentary film along those lines.
And I guess you got a positive response.
Yes, we did. Because there hasn't been anything like it, and there still isn't. So there are films, although it was launched in 2008 as the first film in the Environmental Film Festival that year, has not been followed up, as far as we know, by anything similar on a similar subject. It's an area that frightens people a little bit to get too deeply into because it's very hard to think about how we can change that. And war seems somewhat inevitable in our culture. So given the fact that we have to do this, to bring in the environment is still another area that we have to be careful about, that we have to think about. It's very hard for people. And also, of course, the human losses of war are so terrible. To think about damaging the environment seems, you know, to be backing up a step away from this, the concerns that are most deep for people.
But environmental damage also, of course, has its effect on human beings. We all, everyone depends on the quality of our environment, and yet that seems to be left out. As one of the people we interviewed for the film said, the environment is war's silent casualty. And I think that's about it.
Mm, good points. And I like what you're saying. Well, a couple things. One, just, you know, both climate change and environmental disaster and war are probably two of the toughest things for we humans to realize what we've done to ourselves, to your point, Alice. And then, Lincoln, what you're saying, you know, not only all that being true, but, you know, we're seeing wars that are being fought over natural resources, oil in particular, and they say the next wars will be fought over water. So it is all connected, isn't it?
Very much so. And in the film, we touch on these things, not as deeply as your previous speaker, Dr. Berger, went into, and his talk was very interesting. And the statistics in it were something we all need to think about. But we do look at the amount of oil consumed by military planes, for instance, as compared with our domestic use of the automobile. And there's one statistic about flying one of those planes for an hour.
An F-22, I think it is, actually.
Takes up as much oil as many people use in their automobiles a whole year.
Well, not just many, as the average American uses in his automobile in a whole year.
And this is just one kind of device that we're using. And then in the film we show this long line of automobiles and tanks, and of course they all require oil. So the American military is probably the largest consumer of oil in the world.
So had you worked on any media projects before this one, or were you just so compelled because of the subject matter to really learn on the job?
Not media projects as such. We're both academics. We met as graduate students in sociology at Columbia many years ago, and we've written books. Each of us has written two, and we've written one book together, but addressed to demographic issues mainly, and care of the aged and things of that sort. But this is the first time we'd ever attempted something directly on environmental consequences of war and preparations for war.
Mm-hmm. And on film. That was the big step. We had a lot of support from people in the Environmental Film Festival. And early on, we began to have help from a student in a course on environmental filmmaking at American University. And he graduated with a prize for his own film, and then came over to us.
It had nothing to do with environment, actually.
No. And then came over to us and worked with us for 4 years to put this film together.
And so this is really your baby, 4 years in the making.
He was a marvelous editor. We were extremely lucky to have him. And the film, we feel, is very well edited, and we can say that with pride because he's the one who did it.
But also because one of the things he learned in working for his master's degree in filmmaking at American University is the sources of footage. We knew nothing about what sorts of places we could go to find footage that we might use. So we have things like BBC and the American U.S. National Archives, things of that sort. There were just dozens of them around, and he knew about these, and we didn't. And we could, he would, following our directions, he would look into these sources for certain footage and then tell us about it, and we'd look at them, and it was very is very important to our work and very cooperative. And occasionally we had to inform him that it was our money and our time. Mm. But by and large, we got along very well the whole time.
Mm. So you funded this on your own, or did you get grants for the project?
Funded it our own in the first stages, and then we got some help from a family member who was very interested in this, and then from two small foundations, we got additional funds, and also, well, we've got our 501c3 status, means that we're tax exempt, and then for the rest of it, there were individual contributions ranging from $15 to $1,000, and we also did something about making a loan from our own funds in addition to what we had given to the film and taking a tax credit on. Not that that made much difference.
And the reason I ask is I love people like you who really, you know, put your money where your mouth is and put real time in, you know, to get an important issue out there to the public. How do you plan to distribute this so more people can see it? We always have the challenge when there's, you know, green film festivals attracting the, you know, environmental activists, the community. God love them, as I always say. But we need to really go beyond the choir to reach average Americans with these messages. Do you have any plans to overcome that usual hurdle?
Well, we've been doing it ever since the film was launched.
March of 2008.
It has legs, so to speak, and it's gone in many different directions, some that were entirely found by us. For instance, facilities for old age care in the Washington area are interested in this kind of thing. Churches and organizations that are care about peace would like to screen it, but we engaged a person in the San Francisco area, actually in California, to help us with the distribution. His name is Steve Michelson of Specialty Studios.
Oh, yes.
And he's a great help to us and has helped us with the distribution and the timing of it. We had 2 months on public television. The film was on the national public television. But it's been overseas, and we have in our film an Australian doctor who's very concerned about nuclear proliferation. And she speaks in the film to that subject, and she has presented it and screened it all over Australia. But there have been other countries as well. It's been shown several times in New Zealand and in Europe, and we're still going strong on finding places to place it.
For a while, it was on Russian overseas television. Hmm. So far as it was not on Russian domestic television.
Hmm. So let's talk a little bit about how wars can scar lands and wound lives. I'm thinking in particular of just a couple of examples of that, landmines, Agent Orange from the Vietnam War. What else that people might not be as aware of in terms of the costs?
Well, there are direct impacts on things like that, for instance, to trees. One of the things that I think we got very interested in was how much war damages trees, which for climate change, as we now know, are very important to leave standing. In fact, we need to plant many more of them. But so that's an area. But there are also things like less direct things like diverting attention from the challenges that we have right in front of us, such as climate change and population growth and destruction of soils and toxic elements going into the water, takes our minds away from those things. War is a diversion. And we have a section on the film about diversion as one of the elements of the damage to the environment that war incurs. Then there are others, like the displacement of large numbers of people who, like the Rwandans during the conflict there, who have to go somewhere else because they are unable to use their land and water and soil. So they need to move for survival purposes, and that whole big mass of people changing places and going to somewhere else.
Environmental refugees, that's a big upcoming problem.
No refugees.
We have one scene in the film showing something like, what was it, a very large number of people that extended 27 miles in length of Rwandans thrown out of their surroundings by war. And what these people, very poor people to begin with, what they must be doing to the environment is shocking.
So it's both a direct assault, if you want to call it that, on natural resources that are very important to our survival. We depend on them for food and for warmth and for the animals that we are related to need them as well. And those indirect things are very often not considered in adding up the costs of war.
So I guess in addition to the expression, the fog of war, we can add the smog of war. All the pollution that comes out of it.
That's a part of it, but also the drought of war, as water is destroyed and water courses and so forth.
You know, I would suppose back, you know, in the days of World War II, other, you know, big wars that our nation's been involved in, bigger and smaller, you know, there might be a feeling, well, we this is something we have to do. We have to go to war. We have to fight for democracy or freedom, whatever, lives. But increasingly we're seeing ourselves involved in conflicts that many people say, you know, we have no right to be in Iraq or Afghanistan, et cetera. So I think your message is that much more important and perhaps will be echoed and amplified a little bit more, you know, because you're adding just one more very important factor, overlooked but important factor, reasons to avoid war.
You said that extremely well. Thank you. We couldn't improve on it.
But I think go to the head of the class.
The other aspect.
That's why I get paid the big bucks. Not, I do this as a labor of love myself. Go ahead.
The other aspect is that wars are global now, although they seem to be localized in local places. We're all affected by all of them. This would be, of course, extremely true of any kind of nuclear strike anywhere in the world. Would affect all of us because the resources becoming so precious with the growing population and the damage itself that adds to climate change affects all of us and our ability as a species to continue to exist.
That's what I would say is nuclear war is the one and only thing that would make climate change concerns kind of irrelevant. We're out of time, but I want to thank you so much, Alice and Lincoln Day, for your contribution to the media out there on our environmental challenges. The film is called Scarred Lands and Wounded Lives, the Environmental Footprint of War. Hope you'll join us next week. In the meantime, if you missed any of today's show, you can check out the archives at prn.fm or our website at thegreenfront.com. Stay cool out there. It's kind of hot across the country, and we hope to see you next time.
Thank you.